Title of the sermon, The Sentence of Death. Do you have it? The sentence of death, according to 2 Corinthians 1 verse 9, we having the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not live unto ourselves or trust in ourselves, but unto God that raiseth the dead. And I ask that you would examine yourself truly from your heart. If you don't have this sentence of death, you're not on the cross right now. That's the great aspect of the cross. So you're ready to die. That you are actually already legally dead, and that you are dying with the Lord, and you love to have it so. Do you have the sentence of death in yourselves? In light of the times and a lot of what we're going into, it's absolutely necessitous for you to obey Jesus Christ, for you to make it to eternal glory, to heaven. It's not an option. Brief outline. I'll probably break it. Number one, what is it? What is the sentence of death? I want to speak about it. Number two, my second heading, biblical examples and possibly some extra biblical examples of the sentence of death being played out in the lives of those that have gone before us in the faith of the gospel. And thirdly, the head, why have the sentence of death in yourself? Why should you? Why is this so important? Just pray with me. Oh Lord God, I do bless you, Lord, as doth everyone in this room, Lord, for inhabiting the praises of your saints, coming, Lord, and being in our midst, Lord, this day, this very, Lord, pivotal time. Lord Jesus, thou that hast made man's mouth, Lord God, and the dumb, and the deaf, and the seeing, and the blind, just give grace today, Lord, to utter your burden, Lord, the vision you've given me, Lord, that needs to be said, that needs, Lord God, to be understood by your people. And oh, give them a heart, Lord, to do that very thing. Give them a heart, Lord God, to see, Lord God, your message, Lord God, to apply your message, Lord God, to their heart, Lord, to examine themselves, whether they be on the cross, whether they have this sentence of death in themselves, Lord God. Lest, Lord God, in the time of fire and trial, Lord, they deny you, Lord, to their eternal doom. Thank you, Lord. I'm not prepared like I would want to be, Lord. Pray that you would guide me, Lord. What would be said, Lord? You would give thy, Lord, divine authority, Lord, to these things. That you would rebuke the devil from our midst and all the powers of darkness, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. That thou, Father God, wouldest have thy way. That you would surround us, Lord, with holy angels, shelter us under the blood, the precious blood, O God of the Lamb, our cleansing fountain, our only hope, O God, your life poured out for us, Lord, the least of which we should do for you. Help us now, Lord, to see if there be a willing mind, Lord. See if we truly be surrendered. Pour out our lives for you, Lord God, on the altar of God, which is our reasonable service, Lord God, in light of the Bible and eternity, as we know it's the truth, as we know it's thy revelation to man. If anyone be not perfect, Lord God, if anyone be otherwise minded, please reveal it to them today, including myself, Lord, lest I condemn myself and the things I preach. Jesus the Christ, holy, blessed name. Amen. I'd like to run through some passages of Scripture to begin. If y'all could turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual, which is effective, which is brought about in enduring of the same suffering. Not just Paul, not just the apostles, and not just the people he's speaking to. Everyone's got to go through the cross. Everyone's got to go through the cross. You would say, what about all these Christians? For hundreds of years, are they in heaven? They didn't go through this kind of suffering. Well, some of them did. And there was others like Rolf Barnes that maybe didn't go through all the outward sufferings of the apostles in his day and age. But I have to believe he's like Moses, and we're going to leave whether he made it heaven to the Lord, and I believe he did. But you would say, how about everybody else? I don't know about everybody else. But I know what Apostle Paul says. And he says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effected or effectual or caused in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation, because we've gone through it. And now we're pulling you to go through it. We've gone through it. We've seen God be faithful. We've seen His consolation magnified in our sufferings in proportion thereunto. And you should be encouraged. You should be sharpened that we've gone before you. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Have found God to be faithful in the fires. He's saying you must go through the fires of New Testament Christianity sufferings. What about all these Baptists for hundreds of years? What are all these Presbyterians? I don't know what to say about them. I'm afraid that many people that were first are going to be last. I'm afraid for Martin Luther. Hope he's in heaven. I love the man. I'm afraid for John Calvin. I hope he's in heaven. I love the man. I'm afraid for many men. Many men. And it was once said to me, the Lord showed me, I believe it was a Watchman Nee book. He had a thought. He thought, what if all of those so-called champion Christians of the faith that we all look up to, that we all think we're head and shoulders above the rest, they're bringing forth a hundredfold of fruit. What if those men were the very bottom of the spectrum in heaven? What if those men were not just the head and shoulders above the rest, the ones bringing forth much fruit, but yet everyone else is going in with less rewards than these men? What if those are the only men that are in heaven? And that scared me. What if there isn't three categories of Christianity? What if there are those that suffer, those that pick up their cross, those that fight the good fight of faith, that lay hold on eternal life, those who endure much trials, bring forth much fruit? And what if there's not another category except for heathen? That drove me to where I am today. That was about 4 years ago that I read that. I had no assurance of salvation. I didn't think anyone was going to heaven. I didn't know anyone in this world right now that's going to heaven. Who then can be saved? And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. It's to help you. It's to strengthen you. It's to give you an example that you could follow. Which is effectual, is effective, is brought forth in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Recently I've been reading about Scotland in the 1600s. We're going into the killing times. I'm reading James Renwick. his letters, this man of God, this martyr, martyred in 1688, a man that I am comforted by, that I am consoled by. He sharpens me. He, being dead, yet speaketh through his letters to me today. And I read about him in Scotland. All of his friends, all those in the same cause as him, all these Christians are being annihilated. With a great, great amount of them, blood being shed like nothing in his day. I believe the Lord gave me a revelation about those times. I believe those men were being plucked up, brought forth to glory through the suffering. I believe that those men were making it to heaven. What does that say for lukewarm age where there's not martyrs on a wide scale like that? There's probably a couple Moseses, a couple Rolf Barnards, a couple in the time of Judges that make it to heaven, I hope. Few find the way of life. Brethren, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Turn with me, please. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds, my imprisonment in Christ, are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. His bonds, his affliction, his cross. If you suffer with him, you will reign with him. If you deny the cross, if you're not willing to go through the fires, if you think it a strange thing, and you run and seem like an evil thing to follow the Lord, then go home. You won't make it to God's promised land. You're not following Jesus Christ of the Bible. You're a Christian. You ought to have a sense of death in yourself. You must set your face like flint to go to Jerusalem. Though the Holy Ghost has afflictions and pain and bonds and suffering awaits you, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself so that I might finish my course with joy. And let me speak with some authority. Bonds and afflictions and pain and suffering awaits this church. Count the cost again, brother. If you want to go further, there's a line in the sand right now. If you want to go back, now is a good time. Right now, go back. And maybe you'll have a little bit of pleasure for a season. Maybe you won't suffer quite so soon. God's going to wipe you off the face of the earth. Send you to hell. But please, go back. Or get the sentence of death in yourself right now. Prepare yourself to seek the law of the Lord, to obey His commandments, to follow Him unto death, to love not your life unto death. That's how they overcame Him. There's no other way. Do you love your life? For I know that this shall turn unto my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What is the sentence of death? Number one, You must be ready to die. You must be ready to die. That's an aspect of the sentence of death. Are you ready to die for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready to lay down your life? Are you ready to pick up your cross? Go to Jerusalem. Though bonds and afflictions, persecution, yea, death itself awaits you in that place. And number two, hope this doesn't shock you, the sentence of death in the Bible. Are you desirous to die? Are you willing to die? Would you rather die than live in this all but God forsaken wicked world of death? That's the sentence of death. Yea, can you say, I would die with joy for Jesus Christ? That is the sentence of death. Paul had it. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. James Renwick says, for mine own part, though the enemy should not get me reached, seemingly this tabernacle of clay will soon fall. His health is really bad. For I am oft times, variously and greatly distempered in my body. But while the Lord hath anything to do with me, I shall continue, and I desire to continue no longer. Do you want a big ministry? Do you want to live for 20 more years? Do you want to preach the gospel more than you want to be with Jesus and obey God? Sin! It's rebellion! Deadly serious. Oh, it makes me cringe. Brethren, if you had no confidence in your flesh, if you really had a right mind toward God, if you had the sin of death in yourself, you knew that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's life. You would pray, oh God, just let me finish my course, let me do your will, and take me home no longer, no less. I don't want a long life in this world of death, few and evil in the days of the years of my life. I want to be with Jesus. You must hate your life. That means you would rather be with Jesus. Do you have this mindset? Do you have this sense of death? You will not be able to obey God. You will not stand up in the fires. Your heart, your sin, will find you out if you don't. Can't even preach the gospel in light of what's coming upon this earth. When there are demonized men looking at you, gnawing their teeth, ready to kill you, you will pine away in fear. They'll smell it. You will not be able to preach the gospel rightly. You will compromise for your life. I remember being at Sam Houston State University years ago. I'm talking to this African-American man. Seemed like he was in a gang or something like this. And I'm preaching the gospel to this guy and a bunch of guys, and he's trying to be cool in front of his friends. And I mean, this man was gnashing with his teeth. He was gnawing with his lips, ready to kill me. He hated me. If this man could have, he would have killed me. And I knew it. It looked like he wanted to take my head off. But I had the sentence of death in myself, that I should not trust in myself, but God that raised the dead. And I stood in there and I was ready for him to take my head off. So I'd rather be with Jesus. I remember being on Staten Island Ferry years ago now. Everybody on that ferry just about wanted to kill us. I just preached. Guy came, almost knocked my head off. Another guy rose up. The Lord raised up deliverance from some guy. Someone tried to beat up Sean for filming me with the camera. And I believe it was that night, we're walking off, and it was a fearsome atmosphere, and Sean said, watch your back. You're going to get stabbed if you don't pray for protection. And I was ready to get stabbed. Amen. Worthy cause, worthy Lord, worthy way. Walked out of there, and God gave us more joy than I probably have ever had in my life when we got back to that church house. We sat there in a dark room in the back of this apostate church nowadays, before we broke fellowship with the pastor, we got on our knees and the Lord poured forth His Spirit to such an immense measure that I could not bear it. I couldn't contain myself. I can't even remember. It was so immeasurable. It was so inconceivably glorious. And I thought I was going to die that night. I was ready. Are you ready? But while the Lord hath anything to do with me, James Renwick says, a Christian, a normal Christian, I shall continue. And I desire to continue no longer. So though many live longer than the Lord hath worked for them, howbeit, I many times admire the Lord's kindness toward me, for I never find any distemper of my body, any affliction of my body, but when I am so circumstanced as, in many respects, I may dispense with it, I can survive with it, He holds me up with the crutch and gets me through it. And through His grace, this is all my desire to spend and be spent for Him in His work until my course be ended. You have a course. What if the Lord calls you tomorrow to die? What if you're on your sickbed? Can you die with joy? Would you be thankful just to be going to glory? Or do you have some kind of dream, some kind of hope, some kind of ambition of some great usage, some great ministerial duty, some souls to be saved? Do you want to bear more fruit? Oh, Lord, don't take my life! God has to take your life right now. And if He doesn't, you die and you go to hell because you're going to get puffed up. And He sees that coming in the future. Would you rather die and go to heaven? Or would you rather have a couple more years and perish and apostatize? I would pray, oh God, give me only the usage. Give me the years. Let me go in Your timing. No more, no less. Don't let me go. I would rather die. Oh Lord, let me die tomorrow. If You can see in the future, I'm going to get puffed up and I'm going to perish. Oh God, take my life. I don't want to go to hell with the wicked. He says in the same page, as for other news, right honorable and dearly beloved in our Lord, He's writing to a free nation, Holland, at that time He's in Scotland. Very many of us, within these three quarters of a year, have fallen amongst the enemy's hands. Some may execute it upon scaffolds, but the Lord so owned and countenance such, especially those five at Glasgow, that the sight of them took great effect upon the generality of the people and raised such a feeling amongst them as was dreaded by the enemy. They died like Christians. Like men. People started thinking twice. That's how James Renwick got saved. He saw some Christians die on the scaffold around 1682. He saw them die like men with joy unspeakable. And peace and grace of God was with them. The presence of God, their master, followed them to that scaffold. He said, I want to be like that. Then he got saved. You might take down more of the enemy's strongholds in your death and in your life. But as for me and my house, we'll submit to the Lord, whatever that be. Don't trust in your own understanding. God knows how to get fruit. God knows how to save souls. God knows how to get glory. God knows how to get you to heaven. So obey Him. Submit. Do His will, no more, no less. Finish your course. And God will deal with your persecutors. I'm not going to go into that too much today. God will deal with the persecutors. There were they in great fear, Psalm 14. For God is in the generation of the righteous. They touched the apple of His eye. Don't mess with God's people. Yea, and a grand persecutor called Major Windrum had three children who within a little while of each other died. One of them, a very young boy, and two daughters come to the years of discretion, of understanding, who died very sweetly and satisfyingly, declaring that the Lord's hand was stretched forth against them because of the hand of their father had in shedding the blood of the saints and of testing him before God that he would quit the course that he followed, which things had some, though no promising effect upon him. Apostle Paul, Philippians 1:22 says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not. For I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me about by my coming to you again. He's going to stay in this vessel of clay. He's going to stay in this earth as long as he has a usage in God's eyes. God knows how to get fruit. He knows how much he wants to use you. He knows when your time's up. Just give it up. Lord, as long as I can be useful to your people, to your cause, to your house, keep me here. Keep this breath in my body. I will serve you with all of my heart. But when it's time for me to come and be with you, gather me up, pluck me up. Don't let me stay in this wicked world any longer. Please, Lord God, please. I want to see Christ. I want to be in mansions of glory. I don't want to weep anymore. I don't want to cry anymore. I want to be under that altar of God. Paul says, advice only, let your conversation, your way of life, your decision, your choices be as it becometh, appropriate in light of the gospel of Christ, that whether I come, see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, not only to be saved by Him, not only to have His merits of His blood on your account, all your sins wiped away for these from the west, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer with Him. Yea, and to rejoice when you suffer shame for His name. He's worthy cause. Having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. No, not Apostle Paul suffers. Not Apostle Paul goes through this conflict. Not Apostle Paul goes to jail for the Lord. Apostle Paul gets beheaded by Nero for the Lord. No, no, no. Having the same conflict, Christians of all ages, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. Normal Christians, generality of Christians, having the same conflict which ye saw to be in me, and now here to be in me. I have refined thee, but not with fire. I have chosen thee in the furnace of afflictions. Gird up your loins. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Endure hardness, says the good soldier of Jesus Christ. Entangle not yourself with the fear of this life of mine. Please Him who hath called you to be a soldier. You don't join the army if you're not ready to die. You don't go into a battlefield. You don't go into the trenches unless you're prepared to meet your maker. We're talking about a war. There are casualties. People die. Just make sure you don't die spiritually and go to hell. Second Timothy, chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, of their own lives, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, can't restrain themselves, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly, silly, simple, ignorant women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But, Timothy, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned of God, not Paul. The Spirit of God was with Paul, confirming the word of Paul. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. What manner of persecutions is Paul speaking of? And he says all Christians will suffer. He says, gird up your loins and prepare. The same persecution that some of you see in me are effectual in saving you. Acts chapter 14. These are the persecutions of the normal Christian life that we're talking about. Rolf Barnard says in his sermon, a reformer, that is a true reformer, someone that's trying to reform the church of apostasy to get back to the Bible, to get back to the New Testament. Rolf Barnard says, a reformer so conducts himself that his age has to kill him. He creates the atmosphere of his own martyrdom. A true reformer, a true Christian, so conducts himself that his age, those that live in his time, have to kill him. He makes and creates the atmosphere for his own martyrdom. The normal Christian life. Stay on Acts 14, please. I'm going to read an excerpt from Romans chapter 8. The normal Christian life. Verse 34. The first scriptures I ever memorized that I can remember. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed. We are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. New Testament Christianity. You think the Roman world is any more wicked than this world we live in today? I don't believe it for a second. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And ye shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake, and then to the end come. And there's two reasons for that. In Matthew 24. There's two reasons. Number one, because the world is that wicked. That the righteous are going to be hated, despised of those that are good. That is a mark of perilous times in the end. They hate, they despise those that do good. And the second reason, because in such a time as this, God purifies His bride, because the righteous get more righteous, and their righteousness exposes the wickedness of the evil. That's why persecution is going to increase. Ye shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake, and then shall the end come. Because you're going to get holy. Because the Christians are going to get serious. Because they're going to be salty. Because they're going to be a savor of life. The life to save. And if death does know, don't believe. They're not going to be afraid of their adversaries. Which to them an evident token of perdition. But you of salvation. And that of God. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror. Neither be ye afraid. Acts chapter 13 and 14. Persecutions of Paul. He references in Timothy Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. He's referring back to Acts 13 and 14. He says in Acts chapter 13, we can start with verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue after Paul preached, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Who can stand against envy? And spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Same as Saul, envious of David. Same as the Pharisees, envious of Jesus. Who can stand before envy? Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it far from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Look, attention, we go into the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their posts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost, receiving the word of God in much assurance. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea! And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Acts 14. Do you have the sins to death in yourself? Are you prepared to suffer? You want to see the Lord move? It is unavoidable. And the more that He moves, the more righteous that we get, the more that we obey Jesus Christ, the more we're going to be like Jesus Christ, the more hated we're going to be, and we will not survive unless God protects us. But He will, and no one will touch you before His hour. Your hours come. And if you just have the sins of death in your heart, you just believe the promises, you'll be thankful when your hours come. Praise God, He'll tell you, and you'll have peace. It passes understanding. And this God is our God, and He shall be our guide even unto death. Bear with me, I'm going to read a story. Hold that place in Acts 14. Dying Soldier Story by Rolf Barnard. Years since, I was in Pennsylvania, and one of the pastors of the meeting said, there's a man 10 miles out in the country, and everybody that comes here talks to him, and he's hard. He listens to everybody, and it goes in one ear and out the other. I want you to go talk to him. He's speaking to Rolf Barnard. And I said, brother, I have no burden for him. He said, well, I said, I'll go if you want me to. He said, I'm burdened, and I wish you'd go. And he took me, and we found the man in his dairy barn, and he was very courteous, and he said, quote, I'm all dirty. And he said, soon, as I get fixed up out of these dirty clothes, I'll be at my house. You gentlemen, go on up to the house. The wife will make you comfortable. And about 10 minutes here, he came, and we sat in the front room, he and his wife, and their little 13-year-old boy. Rolf says, and we went through all the motions. We preached and talked and witnessed and testified. And he listened very courteously. And after it was all over, he said, quotation, can we have a prayer? And we said, oh, yes, by all means. And he got down on his knees with us. Everybody got down on their knees. And I prayed a nice little prayer, the best I could. And then the pastor prayed. While the pastor was praying, I heard somebody sobbing. And I opened one eye and didn't think the Lord would mind. And that little 13-year-old boy was there just shaking with his body and sobbing. I went over, put my arm around him and said, what's the matter with you, son? And he said, I'm lost! I'm lost! I don't know whether he got saved or not, Rolf says. He said he did. His daddy didn't pay any attention. 9 years later, a chaplain who was in Guatemala Canales in World War II came through the firings. He came through the firings and found the body of an American boy lying in a pool of blood. 9 years later, the boy's 22 now, dead. And he noticed that clutched in his right hand was a little stub of a pencil, and in his left hand, sort of almost like that, was a circular not quite as big as I see that one there with my picture, Rolf says on it, advertising the meetings I've held in that city where he was 9 years before. He's now 13 to 9. How old is that? 22. He's a soldier in Guatemala Canal. He stopped a bullet, and evidently it didn't kill him at once. And miracle of miracles, he must have had in his pocketbook somewhere in that soldier uniform. He carried a circular with my picture and him too. He took out that piece of paper and had his stub pencil. And right underneath my picture, there was a little blank space. I've got the circular, Rolf says. Wouldn't take $1 million for it, poor as I am. He gave a testimony as he was there, lay there dying. Of course I remember it. Quotations, Rolf said. He said, "Dear Mom, I'm dying. It's all right, Mom. When Brother Barnard came to our house, the Lord Jesus Christ came into my life. And Mom, He's with me now." I don't think you can take some facts along Guatemala Canal, but bless God, a living Christ can go with you. And a Christ not in you is not yours, brother. Well, the chaplain took that pencil and little paper and some personal effects and sent it back to Pennsylvania. One day that old man, that old hard man, went down to the farm box out there, you know, the mailbox, and got a package and took it to his wife, and she opened it. The letter from the chaplain explained how they found him. They found their boy. They found him. In that package was that pencil, that little stub pencil, and that circular. The old man looked at my picture, and by that time, his eyes were cold with tears. And he said, quotation, Mom, what's that writing under there? And Mom took it and read it, quotations, "Dear Mom, I'm dying. It's all right, Mom. When Brother Barnard came to our house, the Lord Jesus Christ came into my life. And He's with me now." And the old man fell down, face forward on the rug, and the wife said about 20 minutes later, when his sobs had subsided, he got up on all his fours. She said she saw heaven in his face. He said, quotation, "Mary, help me know that Lord that was with my boy while he died." In light of these sufferings, in light of your examination of the sentence of death, I want you to consider the other side. There's something worse than death. Rebellion. There's something beyond the grave. It's eternity. And as a woman said, I'll read the article, "Who would die without God?" There's two sides of this spectrum as you count this sentence in yourself. If you're going to go through now, there's going to be fires. You need this sentence of death in yourself. But if you don't go through, you're going to have the sentence of eternal death upon your head. And that's a cost. That's a cost as well. I don't want to negate that. Psalm 46 to a Christian. He says, God says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melt. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow, He cutteth the spear in sunder, He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Mom, he's with me now. And his God's our God. He will be our guide even unto death. Don't forget it. Stay with him. Don't forsake him. He will not forsake you. Never forsake you. And it will be worth it all. Count the cost. And know what you're getting yourself into. Following Jesus Christ. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Fear God. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself and let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. A dying man. 1660s, early 1660s, James Guthrie wrote a letter to his wife. I hope that you ladies, you wives, and you future wives will be as faithful as this woman. He was about to die. Very shortly from hence, he was hung on the gallows. State sentence against him. James Guthrie says, in a letter to his wife, my heart, being within a few hours to lay down my life for the testimony of Jesus Christ, I do send these few lines as the last obedience of unfeigned and spotless affection which I bear to you, not only as one flesh, but as a member with me of that blessed mystical body of the Lord. For I trust you are, and that God who hath begun his work in you will also perfect it and bring it to an end and give you life and salvation. Whatever may be your infirmities and weakness, yet the grace of God shall be sufficient for you, and his strength shall be perfected in your weakness. He says to his wife in commendation, I hope that a husband can say this about his wife, about you ladies. To me, you have been a very kind and faithful yoke fellow, and not a hinderer, but a helper in the work of the Lord. I do bear you this testimony as all the recompense I can now leave with you. In all the trials I have met with in the work of the ministry these 20 years past, which have not been a few, and that from aggressors of many sorts upon the right hand and upon the left, he says of his wife, you were never a tempter of me to depart away from the living God and from the way of my duty to comply with an evil course or to hearken to the counsels of flesh and blood for avoiding the cross and for gaining the profit and preferment of a present world. You have wrought much with your hands for furnishing bread to me and to my children, and were always willing that I should show hospitality, especially to those that bore the image of God. These things I mention not to puff you up, but to encourage you under your present affliction and distress, being persuaded that God will have regard unto you and unto the children of my body, which I leave to your care, that they may be bred up in the knowledge of the Lord. Let not your wants and weaknesses discourage you. There is power, riches, and abundance with God, both as to the things of this body and the things of the soul. And he will supply all your want and carry you through. It is like to be a most trying time, but cleave you to God and keep his way. Without casting away your confidence, fear not, he says to his wife, to be drowned in the depths of the troubles that may attend this land. God will hide you under his shadow and keep you in the hollow of his hand. Be sober and of a meek spirit. Strive not with providence, but be subject to him who is the Father of spirits. Decline not the cross, but embrace it as your own. Love all that love the Lord and delight in their fellowship. Give yourself unto prayer and be diligent in reading the Holy Scriptures. Wait on the ordinances and have them in great esteem as to the appointed means of God for your salvation. Join the exercise of piety and repentance together and manifest your faith in the fruits of sincere obedience and of a gospel conversation Value your conscience above your skin. Brethren, value your conscience above your skin. Be not solicitous or murmuring, although you know not wherewith to clothe you and your children, or wherewith to dine. God's providences and promises are a true, rich, and never failing portion. Jesus Christ be all your salvation and all your desire. You, he says to his wife, I recommend unto him and him unto you my heart, exclamation point. I recommend you to the eternal love of Jesus Christ. He says, I am helped of God and hope I shall be helped to the end. Pray for me while I am here and praise with me hereafter. God be with you. I am yours. James Guthrie, just before he died, his last words to his wife, washing her ever in the water of the Word. He laid down his life in Christ, under Christ, like his master, that he might do so. He honored God. You best believe God will honor him. You best believe God will take care of his wife and his children. And he did. And you best believe God saw that they would be saved. You want your kids to be saved? You want to see souls saved? You want God to honor you? Honor him unto death. Be thou faithful unto death, and you shall inherit eternal life. Kind of sufferings that Apostle Paul had. Acts chapter 14. And it came to pass in Iconium, one of the places mentioned, 2 Timothy chapter 3, that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. They had the sentence of death in their suffering. They would have been speaking boldly in light of these circumstances. They should not trust in themselves, but God that raised the dead. As God opened to them an effectual open door, and there were many adversaries. He fought with the beasts of that. God got glory. But the multitude of the city, verse 4, was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews, with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities like Iconium, and unto the region that lieth round about. How serious were these persecutions? And he says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He had to flee for his life. You think Paul's the only one? You think Jesus the only one that went to the cross? Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for us. There's a cross for you. And it's your glory. And it's your salvation. The long suffering of God is your salvation. Yield yourself to God. Submit to the Lord. Surrender. Lay your life down. Suffer with Him. And you will reign with Him if you deny Him. And you deny His people. You refuse to suffer with His afflicted. He will deny you, brethren. You'll go on to hell. And there's no telling how long He'll let you live. I remember this story. The martyr book. These two Chinese ladies had been baptized by a pastor. They were all taken by the communist government in China into custody. And these men put a gun to them, said, deny the Lord Jesus, you're going to die. And they said along the lines of, how can we deny Him who our soul desireth? He that gave Himself for us. And the pastor that baptized them chose his life rather than die for the Lord. Die like a man in what he believed. And he believe he shot them, killed them. He thought he was going to get away with it. He was going to sell out Jesus Christ for a morsel of bread. And then they shot him in the head and he went to hell. If you deny Jesus Christ, he will deny you. Brethren, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. God will be in control. Your life will have meaning. He will bear fruit for you. He is the King. This is the persecution that Paul suffered, which effectually worked in him unto salvation. And the same that works in all Christians. This is not something new. This is not something to be unexpected. Prepare your heart, brethren, to fight for the Lord your God. To fight the good fight of faith. Finish the course. And brethren, the course is going to be rocky. And it is going to be hard. You need to gird up the loins of your mind. And hope to the end for the revelation that is to be brought to you at the appearing Jesus Christ. You need to keep your eyes on Him. And you will go over these mountains as a row. Mountain to mountain. They will seem to you but a few days for the love you had to Him, brethren. And what you do in this life will echo in eternity. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra, in Derbe, cities like Iconia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked, and when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voice in the speech of Laconia, and the gods, saying, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men," and they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Saul heard of it, they ripped their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left us not without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these saints, scarce they restrained the people, they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, he wouldn't back down for his life. He's the pattern saint. Paul, he made it to heaven, he's in glory. He never regretted one thing, one suffering, one pain for one moment. For all of eternity, sitting before the throne crying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and praise. Thou hast created all things. Thou hast redeemed me." You want to be with Paul? Or you want to be with Demas? You want to be with Apostle Paul? Or do you want to be with Judas Iscariot? Who do you want to be with? Suffer with him. You will reign with him. Gird up your loins. Play the man, brethren. Fight this fight. Forget about the pain. Forget about the cost. Unflinching to obey the Lord. And in his time, he will win the day. Though you be bound by afflictions, rejoice in that prison scene. Praises to God. End the transgression. The overlooking, the overstepping, the perverseness of the wicked. There is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice in prison with Paul and Silas. They shake that place. And if God wants to get you out, He'll get you out. Just don't deny the Lord. Honor your conscience more than your skin. Hold faith and a good conscience, from which some, having swerved, have made shipwreck. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. These are the persecutions Paul speaks of. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is why you must count the cost, brethren. So we're going to get back to New Testament Christianity. We're going to get back to New Testament persecution as well in this world. And this world is wicked. This world is waxing worse and worse, and we're waxing more and more holy, more and more biblical, aren't we? We're going on to glory, and they're going on to perdition. And there's going to be a meeting in the middle. And we're not called to fight back physical weapons. We're called to submit. Be as a lamb. Be as a sheep that openeth not their mouth to the slaughter. Killed all the day long with the assurance of the promise that God will be with you, that the Comforter will be with you. He will be your guide even unto death. Stay with Him. Stay the course. You cannot if you don't have the sense of death in yourself. You cannot if you're not willing. We are confident, Paul says. I say willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Desirous. If you've tasted that the Lord is good, and there's something, and though your flesh is weak, though your flesh trembles to think of death, your spirit is willing indeed. I know it. You're a Christian. You must be willing. My people shall be willing in the day of my power to face all the powers of hell and to triumph in Christ Jesus. And brethren, to die a martyrdom for the Lord Jesus Christ in righteousness is a triumph. And there is no greater way to go to glory. Just think of what's on the other side. Just think the moment that that breath leaves your body and the chariots of fire and the holy angels come and take your soul to the Lord, to your King. Oh, brethren! If you deny the Lord in the heat of battle, brethren, there is no guarantee that you will recover. You will be even as Judas Iscariot. You will go commit suicide. God will not let you have peace. God will not let you have rest if you deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear God more than man. Love not your lives unto death. And you can have joy. And then you confess God, right? Otherwise you're not going to confess the Lord. Otherwise you're not going to be pleasing to God. It's going to be a bumpy road. For the way of the righteous is made plain. But thorns are in the way of the wicked. And thistles. You'll know. And the Lord will tell you, you'll know. It's my time. And God will be with you when your hour has come, but not until then. And if God wants to set you free from prison like He did Peter, like He did Paul and Silas, He will in a moment of time. Don't think He's below it. He will. But be willing to face the price, the cost of calling yourself a Christian in the devil's world. God gets glory through us in the fires. There's no greater glory you can bring to God than to glorify ye the Lord in the fires. What is sentence of death? Number one, must be ready to die. I'll show you an example. Jeremiah chapter 26. Jeremiah had the sentence of death in himself, that he should not trust in himself, but God had raised the dead. And that is why, when the battle came, when the going got tough, the tough got going. And God saved him. Many a time, God preserved his life. He'll preserve you as long as He wants to. Verse 7, Jeremiah is prophesying the most sharpest verdict against this city of Jerusalem that he could possibly muster up. The most fearsome warnings in the Bible. They're going to be like Shiloh. They're going to be wiped out by the enemies in a moment. So the priests, verse 7, and the prophets, and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, Thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered together against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house under the house of the Lord, sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, The Lord sent me prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore, now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth the Lord hath sent me unto you. Speak all these words in your ears. I think you'll have better luck than Jeremiah. When you prophesy in the name of the Lord rightly, against this city of destruction. No. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. Christians are called to be abels to righteousness. And Cain will kill you if he can. But as in he that was born after the Spirit, after the flesh, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Jeremiah had the sense of death in himself, that he should not trust in himself, and God raised the dead, and the Lord delivered him. Then said the princes, God raised up the princes, and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, this man is not worthy to die, for he hath spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Then rose up certain of the elders of the land, and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah, the Morishite, prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, spake to all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains of the house, and the high place of the forts. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all of Judah put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord, and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? Thus might we procure great evil against our souls. And there was also another man besides Jeremiah, that prophesied in the name of the Lord. Uriah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, prophesied against this city and against the land. According to all the words of Jeremiah, he just said the truth. We might just say the truth. And one of us might survive, and one of us might die like Pilgrim's Progress. When Jehoiakim, king, with all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard it, he was afraid and fled, and went into Egypt. He reigned. He didn't have the sense of death in himself. He feared for his life. He was trembling like a little child. Didn't know God. Didn't believe in his God. Daniel wasn't afraid. He got thrust in the lion's den. God shut their mouth for a whole night. And it wasn't because they weren't hungry. They didn't want to eat him. Devour him in a moment. Because when he got out of there the next day, because God wanted to deliver him, but he's ready to die for the Lord. If that's the Lord's will. They threw in all of his enemies before they even hit the ground. They were devoured of lions. Trust and believe in God, but have the sentence of death in you. You better be ready, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were ready to die. And they didn't die. Yet. This man, when Uriah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. Jehoiakim, the king, sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan, the son of Achbor, certain men with him, into Egypt. And they fetched forth Uriah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim, the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. Jeremiah had the sense of death in himself, that he should not trust in himself, and God saved his life for another day. They're not 12 hours in the day. If any man walk in the day, he see the light of this world. But if you walk in the night, then you stumble. There are 12 hours. You've got a course. Brother, just submit to your course. If God calls you to go down tomorrow, praise the name of the Lord. And if God calls you to go down in 2 years from now, praise the name of He giveth my life, and He taketh away. Blessed be His holy name. And rejoice in the Lord always. In prison, Paul. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. If you're a Christian, He's nigh unto you. He will be with you, brethren. I would rather be in a prison for 30 years glorifying God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. You're a Christian. That's all you long for, to commune with God. This is just the beginning. We're going somewhere, brethren. A lot better than this place. We've tasted. But then we'll see Him as He is. Apostle Paul had a sense of death in himself. Acts chapter 21. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came to a straight course unto Cos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. Finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forward. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand, sailed into Syria, and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlade her burden. In finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit, ye should not go up to Jerusalem. When we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way, with wives and children, till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. When we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. When we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemy, and saluted the brethren, and abode with them 1 day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed, and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of 7, and abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, and bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hand of the Gentiles. When we heard these things, both we and they of that place, Luke is speaking, besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be found only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. When he would not be persuaded, we see saying, the will of the Lord be done. This was Apostle Paul's Isaac. This was his greatest temptation. This was the hour of trial that came upon him. You'll have one. You'll have a giant to face. You'll have a trial one day. Gird up your loins, because you're going to have to go to the same way of Apostle Paul, who was scarcely saved by cleaving to God in the fire. Are you ready to face the Lord? Are you ready to face the trial? Are you ready to have the sins of death in yourself, to face death for the Lord? Better get ready now. I've been thinking about this for 4 years. Many years I've been thinking. Many years ago I was afraid. I remember 4 or 5 years ago, I was one summer seeking the Lord, and I thought I was going to die a martyr's death. I had some strange just premonition that I would. I shared it before. But I remember I was comforted by a number of testimonies. This one lady who was pregnant back in the reign of Bloody Mary back in around the 1550s. This lady was pregnant. She was crying out in birth pains. She was suffering. She was very much pain and turmoil. And a man, a persecutor, that knew that she was to die the next day, to be burned at the stake for the Lord's sake. The next day, this man was mocking and scoffing this woman that was in pain through birth. And he mocked her. He said, if you suffer this much now, if you're crying like such a coward now, how are you going to do in the fire or the stake tomorrow? And this lady said along these lines, though now I suffer the pain of the curse that God hath put upon women, yet tomorrow not I, but Christ in me. The next day, if I'm not mistaken, not a whimper, no fear, nothing, joy, peace upon her countenance. She died like a Christian. That encouraged me. That encouraged me. I've been facing this for years. For 4 years, I've been preparing my heart. And if you're not prepared, you will not make it to heaven. You will go with him, the devil that is, everlasting hellfire. Prepare your heart Think about this. Are you ready to face that price? If not, go home. Now's a good time to go home, and maybe you can have a couple years and enjoy the pleasure of sin for the season. But if you're going to go forth now, be ready to suffer affliction with the people of God. We're going to suffer. Ready. He's going to bring many sons into glory in a very short amount of time, and there is no avoiding it. But he promises this, that in me ye shall have peace. Not as the world giveth, so give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But in the world you will have tribulations. Oh, that you would cry out with Paul, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Then we can rejoice. You must hate your life. That's how you got saved, if you're saved. You did hate your life. You did count this cost once upon a time. It's time to count it again. Are you willing to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord? Are you willing to suffer? Even torment, if that's the Lord's will. He will be with you. That's the promise. He's as good as His Word. He is God. He can take away the pain. He can take away the fire. You don't even have to feel it. Brethren, it is your job to obey unflinchingly. When he would not be persuaded, we see saying, the will of the Lord be done. Acts 21:15. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one, Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. When we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe in Christ, and they are all zealous of the law, legalistic. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it therefore? The multitudes must needs come together. They will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this, that we may say, that we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Them take and purify thyself with them. Be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that these observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, from strangled, and from fornication. Then Paul took them in, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple, to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, Men of Israel, this is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also to the temple and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city of Trophimus and Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut, and as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the chief captain and soldiers, they left beating of Paul. They're beating him to death. For my love, they are my adversaries. But I give myself unto prayer, and I will gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more I love you, the less I be loved of you, Paul says. When they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, parentheses, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say that they are Jews, Christians, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. That's an incentive to overcome. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Luke chapter 13. Jesus Christ had the sentence of death in Himself. His whole ministry. Here's one instance. Verse 31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto Him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And He said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfect. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Was He afraid? I don't think so. He was ready. He had His life on the altar. He was faithful. He laid down His life. No man took Him. He laid it down. Are you ready? Are you afraid? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me till the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Luke chapter 21, verse 5. Surely this scripture is relevant today. Surely we ought to apply it. Be ready for such times as these. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be of these things that shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. So there's many false ways, there's also a true way. There's many false Christs, there's many false churches, there's many false prophets. That does not mean there's not a true one. You'll know them by their fruits. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, and ye who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, who are you going to fear? The devil, or are you going to fear God? You're going to fear hellfire? You're going to fear carnal fire, physical fire? See that ye be not troubled, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by directly. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and the great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before, or in light of, against, during, all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you Christians, delivering you up to the synagogues. The churches are going to deliver you up to the synagogues and into the prisons. All the pastors in these churches, these 501c corporations, they're going to be working with the state. They will. They're going to sell out God for a morsel of bread, and then they're going to start persecuting you. They shall deliver you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my namesake, FEMA camps, concentration camps, prison camps, all over this nation. You think it was bad in Holocaust Germany? You think Adolf Hitler was the one that inspired those things? It was the devil, and he hasn't changed. It was a nation that forsook God, and that's the judgment you get. You forsake God. If you feared God, if you loved the Lord, if you had the sin of death in yourself, you'd be, praise God. Bring me to the concentration camp. I'm going to preach until I die. There's a man. Seems to be a Christian. A man named John Harper. That died on the Titanic. The unsinkable ship. Sank. This is how you ought to die, brethren. This is how you ought to see these prison camps and these threats and these warnings and these fears. Be not troubled. Rest with the Lord, brethren. He is with you in the apple of His eye. He will see you to the end. Praise God that you have the seal right now and the door has not been shut. And you've been saved. There's coming a time when they can't be saved. And Christians, they're going to know it. And their hearts are going to melt for fear of looking at things that come on in the world. And they don't have the Comforter with them. At least you've got the Comforter. The God of all comfort. This man, John Harper. That's how we ought to go. The Titanic is about as long as the Empire State Building is tall. Set out on its maiden voyage in 1912. The distance required to stop the Titanic was about a half a mile. Only 713 persons were rescued and 1,522 people died. Some called this magnificent ship unsinkable. John Harper was 29 years old as a preacher that was on that ship referred to as the unsinkable ship. He gave his life to Jesus at age 14. In his early days, he sought no pulpit. It was enough that John Harper to proclaim Christ on the streets. An empty street corner was to John an invitation to preach to all passerbys the glorious riches of God in Christ Jesus. After several years of street preaching, several Baptist leaders began to know and appreciate his white-hot zeal for the Lord. He was made a Baptist missionary preacher, which eventually led to a pastoral charge. Starting with 25 members, the church of John Harper quickly began to grow and prosper under his evangelistic zeal and compassionate heart. When after 13 years of ministry there, he resigned to take a pastorate in London, the church's seating capacity of 900 was quite incapable of holding all those who desired to bid their beloved pastor goodbye. One of the keys to John Harper's faithfulness as a minister was his prayer life. God had given John a heart for humanity, and this loving heart was strongly and continually exercised in prayer. Listen to these tributes to his incredible passion in prayer. I have been with, this is George Harper, his brother, my dear brother in prayer again and again. When his whole frame shook like an aspen leaf, so earnest was he in pleadings with God for a perishing world, he often wept in prayer. Little wonder hard hearts were broken and stubborn wills subdued under his ministry. Another man, pastor, the passion of his life was soul winning. It was no usual thing for him never to go to bed on a Saturday night, pleading for souls and crying for divine power to enable him to preach the glory of God. Another evangelist, man, J.W.D. Dunn. How often I have heard Pastor Harper say, when lying on his face before God, covered with perspiration, oh God, give me souls or I die. Then he would sob and weep as if his heart would break. And finally, Pastor Malcolm Ferguson. I was often there during 1905 when the news of the Welsh revival spread. I did not go to Wales, but often saw scenes in Paisley Road Church, similar to what we heard were going on there. The crowds were so great it was difficult to get in. Then before anyone could speak, 10 minutes, souls were crying out for mercy under the mighty power of God. It was the Holy Spirit convicting of sin. One was forced to ask often, what is the secret of this perennial blessing in Paisley Road? But when in touch with the pastor in his vestry or in his home, the secret was soon found out. This is his death, the account of his death. John Harper was on his way back to Chicago to revival meetings at D.L. Moody's church as a passenger on the Titanic. Before the accident, John Harper was seen on the deck of the ship, leaning against a rail that fateful evening. sharing Christ with one of the passengers, not only did John Harper make no attempt to get into the lifeboats as the ship sank from hitting an iceberg, he even gave away his own life jacket to another man. When the mammoth ship slid quietly into the cold ocean waters, Harper's ministry did not cease. Though without a life jacket and thrashing about in the freezing waters, he continued to urge men and women to come to Christ. The survivors nearly all reported the terrible roar that consisted of the combined screams of the perishing. But John had more important things to do than scream. Even as he struggled in the cruel, freezing waters of the Atlantic, he continued calling men and women to Jesus Christ. A year or more after the sinking of the Titanic, a young man testified of how he had met the passionate preacher in the waters. As people were screaming and dying, he saw John Harper drifting near him. Harper cried out, "Man, are you saved?" The young man knew he was in no condition to meet his Maker and answered sadly, "No." Harper immediately replied with the scripture, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." After they were separated, and Harper disappeared into the darkness. But as God's mercy would have it, within a short time, they came within each other's sight once again. Again, Harper asked the question that he had asked in various forms countless times throughout his years of service in his Lord. "Are you saved?" Once again, the answer was given in the negative. Again, Harper cried out, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." John Harper succumbed to the freezing waters shortly after that. As best as anyone can tell, those were his last words. The young man, however, floating on a spar of the ship, was eventually picked up by one of the lifeboats and rescued by the Carpathia, another ship. He testified later, quotation, "There, 2 miles above the ocean floor, I did believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation. I was John Harper's last convert." Perhaps John Patton, John Harper's friend, put it best, quotation, "Some of us can well imagine him in these last awful minutes on board the doomed Titanic, standing amidst a group of stricken, repentant souls, pointing them to the Savior he had loved and served so well, and helping them to seize their 11th hour opportunity. God has not many servants whom he could trust with such a service." And that, to me at least, is the explanation of our brother being on board the Titanic. You find yourself in a prison camp. Preach Jesus, the joy of God on your countenance. Forget about the fear. Fear God. If that's the Lord's will, so be it. Amen. Even so, it is come. Luke 21, verse 12. "But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony." Settle it. Prepare. Settle it. Sanctify it. "Therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you they shall cause to be put to death." Some of you they shall cause to be put to death. "And ye shall be hated by all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls." And I say to you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, but after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea. Saying you fear him. Look at the first prototype martyr, Stephen. How did he die? Had he the sense of death in himself? He did. Oh, that I might die like Stephen. This man was blessed indeed. This man is blessed indeed right now. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living, of Moses, of Elijah, of Stephen, of Spurgeon. They are alive. Marvel not at this, brethren, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall come forth. They that have done good confess Christ unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and be ready always to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is in you, in meekness and in fear. Don't be afraid of their faces, which is an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Don't be afraid. Acts chapter 7. Verse 51. Stephen puts on the pressure, brings forth the sword. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, whom ye have now been betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down, cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Christians don't die. Ever. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Now they desire a better country, that is in heaven. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. He hath prepared for them, city. What shall I say more? Verse 32. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. Consider him. Consider Jesus, your master. Follow him. Rejoice in him. Play the man. Be strong. For our light affliction, Paul says, light affliction, being stoned to death, being cast out of every city for fear of his life, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Eternity, put your eyes on glory, brethren. Look to Jesus on the throne outside of time in heaven. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For I reckon, Paul says, he still does, brethren. He didn't take it back for the world, that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with glory that shall be revealed in us. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more under the perfect. Just as a witness of this scripture truth, that it's to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God, that you're not afraid. Not only of them, but you're not afraid of death. I remember speaking to my brother with peace, grace. I told him, I'm ready to die. I'm prepared to meet my Maker. He was unnerved. It absolutely terrifies him that I'm not afraid to die. You want to terrify the world, brother. Make sure you go down with grace. Enjoy and peace upon your countenance. Get right with God and you'll have a peace that passes all understanding. And it will follow you in the greatest of trials. Read about a dying lady. The lady that got saved through George Whitfield, who in his day was God's anointed. He was God's man. God was saving people, bearing witness by the fruit of this man. This lady said the famous words, "Who would die without God?" Nobody that has any manner of sanity, if you can help it, seek the Lord while He may be found. This lady, this was her death. "Dear child, underwritten are the dying words of your aunt, which I send for your satisfaction and information. She died on October 7th, between the hours of 9 and 10 in the morning, being filled with the full assurance of faith in Christ and a joyful hope of eternal salvation through His merits and mediation." Quotations. This is around 1740s. "As your aunt and I were praying to our Lord Jesus to give her the comforts of His Holy Spirit to support her under the agonies of death, she replied," quotation, "she replied," this lady on her deathbed, "I see Him! I see Him! Now I see light!" After this, she continued in prayer about half an hour, but her speech failing her, could not during that time understand what she spake. Only we could hear the name of Jesus often, and quotation, "Come Jesus! Come Jesus!" Then she spake out plainly and said, "Who would die without God?" "Now again spake out and said," she again spake and said, quotation, "God has let me see great and glorious things which would not be believed if they were told. Then your uncle, coming into the room, spake to your aunt, and your dying aunt, hearing his voice, called to him," called to her brother. "When he was come, she spake to us and said," quotation, "Mind, listen, hear what I say to you. God has enabled me to speak to you before I go," parentheses, "for I am just going. Then she said, quotation, God is a just God, as well as merciful. Be diligent in searching your hearts. Brother, tell Mr. So-and-so he is in the wrong. She says of her death, my pain is great. My pain is great, but Christ is sufficient for me. And she repeated that quotation, God had let her see great things that would not be believed if they were told. She said also, moreover, follow Whitfield. God will bless him wherever he goes. Don't speak lightly of him. Bless him. Bless him. God has enabled me to speak to you before I go. I am just going, farewell, farewell, God be with you. Then she composed herself, lay about a half an hour, and neither moved nor groaned, except her lips and tongue, and the heaving of her breast and breathing, seeming to be in perfect senses, till about the minute before she died, she looked round at each of us that were about her bed, and then she departed in quietness. Thus far, Mr. Bryan, I shall only add, quotation, O death, this is Whitfield, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory over true believers? What fools are they who count their lives madness? I have one more thing to share. Practical application in light of this message and this principle of having the sin of death in yourself, the trials and fires that are coming upon this world, coming upon this nation, undoubtedly, in the near future, probably nearer than I even know. In light of the fact that you got one breath, God holds it in the palm of His hand. He can take whenever He wants. And if you ain't saved, when you die, you're going to hell. Brethren, this is my advice to you. It's in the Pilgrim's Progress, in the house of the interpreter. This is the man that makes it to heaven. I don't care what fires come. I don't care what obstacles come. I don't care how big the mountains are. I don't care how loud Goliath defies. You want to make the heaven, brethren. You better fulfill this principle. And run. You run. No matter what you see. You believe your God is a consuming fire. And you believe that He's worthy. You believe that He'll be with you. You look over the mountains and over the fires and get in that ark and don't come out for the world. By God's grace, I myself will be running, and I'll be with you to death. I saw also that the interpreter took him again by the hand, took Christian by the hand, and led him into a pleasant place where was built a stately palace beautiful to behold, at the sight of which Christian was greatly delighted. He saw also upon the top thereof certain persons walking who were clothed in gold. Then said Christian unto the interpreter, may we go in hither, and we go to this palace to heaven? Then the interpreter took him and led him up toward the door of the palace, the door, the entrance. And behold, at the door stood a great company. At the door stood a great company of men as desirous to go in. They all want to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But they durst not. There also sat a man at a little distance from the door. This guy's keeping the straight gate. This is the doorkeeper. You got to get through. Jesus Christ is the door. At the door stood, at the table side, a man with a book and his ink horn before him. The book of life he had. And his ink horn before him. He's writing people's names down in the book of life. And unless you're in that book, you're going to go to hell. And if you don't endure to the end, your name's going to be blood out of that book. Please listen. This is the man that makes it to the end. This is the man. Now, he saw also that in the doorway stood many men in armor. Stood many men in armor to keep it, to keep the door. Being resolved to do to the men that would enter what hurt and mischief they could. That's the devil. That's his men. Keeping the door. The devil's not going to let you have this prize. God's not going to let you have this prize easily. No. It's going to be resting in the Lord. In the fires of affliction. Not to the flesh. To the spirit there will be rest and peace. To the flesh there's going to be trials. These men stood in the doorway to do what hurt and mischief they could. Now was Christian. Christian was somewhat amazed At last, when every man started back for fear of the armed men, every man was fearing the giants. They all started back for fear of the armed men. Christian saw one man of a very stout, bold, intrepid countenance come up to the man that sat there to write, saying, "Set down my name, sir." The which, when he had done, he saw the man. He saw this man draw his sword and put a helmet of salvation on his head and rush toward the door upon the armed men, who laid upon him with deadly force. But the man, not at all discouraged, fell to cutting and hacking most fiercely. So after he had received and had given many wounds to those that attended to keep him out, he cut his way through them all and pressed forward into the palace, at which there was a pleasant voice heard from those that were within, even of those that walked upon the top of the palace, saying, "Come in, come in. Eternal glory thou shalt win." So he went in and was clothed with such garments as they. Then Christian smiled and said, "I think verily I know the meaning of this."
Amen.
Let's pray. O Lord God, I thank you for the purchase of your salvation, Lord God. I thank you for the promises of your word that you will be with us, Lord, in these fires. And I pray, O Lord Jesus Christ, for my brethren, O God, we all agree as touching this thing, that you, O Lord, would not allow any of us to deny you, Lord God. That you would not allow any of us, Lord God, to deny your cross, Lord God. That you would allow us, Lord God, to be even as that man, Lord God, to fight, Lord, through all the trials and affliction that you so choose to bring upon us, that we would abide in the vine, Lord, that we would trust you to the end, O God, that we would be faithful unto death, O God, that we, Lord, have your comforts and have your consolation, Lord God. But, O Lord, help us, Lord, not to forsake thee, as we know, Lord, we know that you will not forsake us, and we know that it's worthy, Lord God. Help us ever to keep our eyes upon you, Lord God, to love not our lives unto death, to hate this world, Lord God. And look unto the next, O Lord. Please don't let us be taken by surprise. Please allow all of us to examine our hearts, Lord, and reveal if any man have not this sentence of death in themselves. Give them grace to gird up their loins, O God, to get ready, Lord, prepare themselves for whatever would await, Lord, to know, Lord, that Thou, Lord God, Thou wilt be in control of them, and Thou, Lord God, wilt be with us in them. I beg you, Lord, to use this for your purpose, Lord. I beg you to let these things, Lord God, hit the hearts of thy people. Help us, Lord, not to be afraid. Help us to fear you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, please. Please help us be faithful as so many of thy martyrs in the past. So many of thy men, oh, Lord, to see you on the right hand of God in it all, Lord. Be thou our peace, Lord, as you have called, as you have said that you would be. Keep us in the fires and in the waters, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Submit this to you. We bless you for your word. We bless you for warning us ahead of time of these things. We look to you, Lord. Help us to get thy word in our hearts, Lord God, that we could stand, that we would not be deceived, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to love, Lord, our conscience more than our skin for your name's sake, because you're worthy, Lord God, of bonds, and it's our reasonable service. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask these things, Lord God. We bless you, Lord, for the rest of this night. Pray you would be with us. We'd please you in this time, oh God, and we'd have sweet fellowship in your spirit, Lord God. Please, Lord. Amen.